Imagination fuel.
Welcome back to episode 9 of Imagination Fuel. I'm Bianca.
And I'm Sienna.
And today we will be talking about
Percy Jackson.
Woot woot.
The movies.
The movies. And just to give a little bit of context, I have never read any of the books. And before watching these movies, the only things I knew were Camp Half-Blood, Percy Jackson, Annabeth Chase. There's a guy named Jason.
Which isn't in the Percy Jackson series.
Okay, just let me say the things I knew. There's a guy named Grover, who I actually thought was a horse, but I thought the Percy's
Centaur?
Horse. No, like I thought Percy had a horse named Grover. I think that's all I knew about it. Oh, also that Percy was supposed to be 11 and then the movies made him a teenager. That's all I knew.
Yeah, I've read the books numerous times, so I know a lot about it. So it's cool to have that we have two different perspectives today on the movie.
So far, that's been every perspective we've done because we've only done Disney reviews, and then the ones that we haven't done of Disney reviews are stuff that you know about and I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Now is my plug-in that we should do a Harry Potter episode because we should. Plug-in happening. So I assume you want to go in order and talk about the... Checking notes. Lightning Thief.
Yes, the Lightning Thief.
Let's go. So we won't be grading anything that differently than how we do our normal Disney reviews. It'll still be music, plot, importance, and visuals.
Yes.
So what do you want to talk about first?
Well, the Percy Jackson movies have the same plot, but not the same time. So I feel like we should start with plot because that's the big
Okay.
issue, I will say.
Issue.
In my opinion.
I very much enjoyed the plot. I gave it a 5 out of 5 for The Lightning Thief. I don't know what changes they made. I don't know how it's different. Obviously, because it's a book-to-movie adaptation, stuff would have been taken out, but I don't know if anything was switched.
Some stuff was switched. So Poseidon gave Percy the pearls. Percy didn't go around finding them. He knew the entrance to the underworld, which is called the DOA.
Wait, back up. So they didn't go on a road trip?
Oh, they did. They're originally just going to go on a bus to...
Wait, when you say originally, you mean...
The books.
Okay.
They were going to go on a bus to... It's called DOA Studios or whatever. Music Studios. And it was just like, it's the entrance to the underworld. So, but of course... Monsters attack, they blow up the bus, and they instead have to walk and find different transportations, and it leads them on a whole journey. They meet gods, they meet monsters, they meet minor gods, and then they get there, and then the rest happens.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
Wait, so they do meet, so Poseidon and Percy meet before the ending, then?
Yeah. They do. I believe it's in a dream. I don't remember. I haven't read the first book in a little while.
Okay, did they also meet again at the end? Did they meet once in the middle and once in the end, and that's all you see of Poseidon?
Yes. Well, you hear of Poseidon.
Okay. When we were watching the movies, something that you said at the first scene was that, oh, that's cool, they didn't have that. Did you mean that they didn't have a scene where Zeus and Poseidon are talking?
Yes, that was really interesting because you got to see the backstory of it. They just talk about it, and Chiron just talks about it, and that's really all they say. So it was cool to see that. And another thing that's different in the plot is that Persephone never helps.
You said that it was Sally, I think the mom's name is, that she stayed behind instead of Grover.
Sally stays behind. Persephone doesn't help. They get out by using the pearls. And that's really all. And they go back to the ocean. And yeah, that's what happens.
What do you mean they go back to the ocean?
Like the pearls bring them to the ocean. Because in many times, they say what belongs to the sea always returns. So the pearls belong to the sea. Then they have to get transportation back to Camp Half-Blood.
Yeah, it makes sense that pearls belong to a sea.
Not random portals and you think where you go.
Makes sense. Wait, so if they don't have the road trip, then they never go to the place in Las Vegas?
Oh, they do. On their way there, they need to stay at night.
Lotus
Hotel.
Locust is a bug.
In fact, Lotus Hotel is not a casino. It's a hotel where you stay in, but they have like some
It's a casino.
Casino games.
Sienna, it's in Las Vegas. It's a casino.
I know.
In a hotel.
It's not.
That's every building in Las Vegas, I guess. Casino and hotel. It's not any special. Yeah. But the Lotus Flowers, I don't think they exist in real life. Like, I'm not even talking about the Percy Jackson universe. I'm saying I don't think they even have a dish called the Lotus Flower. Because that's kind of weird. But who knows? Yeah. They might.
They have it in the Odyssey, which is what that's based off of. But they have it. They actually don't have the flowers in the books. They just sort of get trapped in it with, like, all the new things they see.
Like, what's that place from Pinocchio? Treasure Island. Treasure Island. Pleasure Island.
Pleasure Island. Yeah, it's kind of like Pleasure Island in that part.
Okay. I think that the flowers is a cool idea.
It is a pretty cool
thing. Wait, how do they get out of it then?
They get out of it when Percy was, like, talking to someone. And, yeah, Percy was talking to someone. Then he's like, oh, I'm from 1941 or whatever. He's like, what? So then he slowly gets out of the trance and gets the other two out. Poseidon never helps.
Okay, and they are in there for 5 days and they books
yeah.
too?
Which I like that because it makes their mission more of a time crunch.
Yeah.
Which is had to be done by the
solstice. But I didn't feel any time crunch about it. Except that one scene when they fell asleep on the road and then they had to stop somewhere. But yeah. It did not feel time crunchy.
Yeah.
And did the same thing happen when Grover's holding the head and then the janitor walks by?
No, but that was so funny. They never stay at a motel because they don't have that money.
Yeah, I was wondering. Like, I thought they only had drachmas, I think they're called.
Yeah, so at the beginning, they only have a little bit of money in drachmas, but they all explode in the bus.
Oh, wait, so. But how does... Can gold coins explode?
Or they disappear? They get lost in the bus wreckage.
Okay.
Yeah, that's really all.
Yeah, I was wondering where they got that money.
Uh-huh.
Where did they get the car again?
Oh, they got it from... What's her face? Medusa's lair.
Right.
The Gnome Emporium.
Right, right, right. I like that scene.
Yeah, they have the same
monsters. Why are they in the books? Why are they in Medusa's lair?
Because they need to... Oh, because they're like... After the bus wreckage, they're like needing to find a direction. So Medusa's like hidden. She's like, oh, children, come inside. Oh, I'll give you this food. I'll give you all sleep for the night. Do all this. But she actually just tries to make them into stone.
Okay.
Which was... Yeah. That's really
it was Uma Thurman that played Medusa, right? I think it was. I don't know. Whoever it was. I think it was Uma Thurman. She did a really good job.
Yeah. I was wondering.
It was pretty creepy.
Why would they have random pearls on the land?
I was also wondering why Medusa would even have a pearl to begin with.
Yeah. Persephone wouldn't give Medusa a pearl. That wouldn't make any sense.
That doesn't make much sense.
And also, why would the Lotus Hotel have a pearl?
Yeah.
There's so many places wouldn't have pearls.
Maybe just... A traveler had a pearl that went to Medusa's place, and then she turned him into stone, or her into stone, and then took the pearl.
Yeah, but you need really a lot of thought for that. You shouldn't really be having to think about that.
That should be something that's explained.
Yeah, and I get Athena's crown, which has it. That made a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Or not, yeah, it was Athena's. But some of the, I don't really get the Lotus Hotel. Maybe someone dropped it accidentally.
Well, probably somebody got stuck in there.
I guess, that would make the most sense. Yeah, but I don't
but
like...
that means there's other, most likely, other demigods or other Greek creatures that were stuck in the Lotus Hotel.
I guess.
It was kind of weird that we only saw humans.
Yeah.
Like, even in the background.
No one, we didn't see anyone flying. We didn't see anyone, like, doing random magic, which you think would happen. Because demigods come in there, not just mortals are stuck in there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like how Annabeth's character... She's one of my favorite characters. Her and in the Percy Jackson series, the first one, she's my favorite character. And they totally messed her up. Her hair is different.
Okay, that's not that big of a deal.
I know, but it's those are her, that's what makes her eyes are gray and they're like so intense. But she always like stares at people, if you get what I'm saying.
Okay.
She can like stare people down really easily.
Like an owl, like Athena's symbol.
Yes.
I'm sure that's why they were going
for
that.
All her children have that. They have that. So it was really annoying when her eyes weren't like that, and that was a part of a character for her to be like a sort of...
I don't think hair color is that big of a deal. But
I know. Hair's not colored.
I mean, last time I saw, more owls are brunette than are blonde, so.
Yeah. Powers were also messed up in this.
Annabeth, I don't understand how powers work.
Sorry, I meant weapons. Annabeth didn't have her invisible hat. That was sad. That's like her favorite, my favorite feature for her. She was using a sword. She hates swords in the books. She only uses her dagger, which she got from when she was 7 years old. Then Chiron.
Okay, I don't even know who Chiron is. And all the...
he's a centaur.
Okay, but he's not important in the movies. So how could they mess it up when he's not there?
Well, he's actually in it many times in the book series.
No, I'm saying, you're saying that they, in the movies, they messed up all the weapons, but this Chiron guy wasn't in the movies.
He was. He was, kind of. He's more played in the actual books, like more of him shown.
Wait, who's Chiron?
Chiron's a centaur. The one that...
Oh, just kidding. The older one?
Yeah.
Oh, the adult. Okay, just kidding.
Yeah. He has a very classic bow and arrow, centaur bow and arrow. He has a sword and a dagger, which I didn't
appreciate. I think he had a bow and arrow.
No, he never. He had a staff, too. His weapons changed in every scene that I saw him in.
Oh, really? Maybe which he's just a multi-weapons guy, you know? Change it up every once in a while.
Yeah.
I don't know how to... They didn't explain most things. So, they called it a summer camp in the movie. Like, oh, you guys take summer camp way too intensely.
Yeah.
So it's just a summer camp? Like, they go home?
Yeah, it's a summer... It's, like, the only place that demigods can escape to, so it's a summer camp. But then some people stay year-round because either they're... Not usually, but Percy, for example, he's the god of the big three. He gets more monster attacks, or people just either can't do it, or they don't have family to go back to.
Okay, but Annabeth said that she only has been outside in the world a couple of times. But then I didn't see any young kids. There was only... I'm confused. So in all the extras and such, there was only teenagers and a few adults that were supervising or whatever. But there's no babies or children. And if Annabeth has only been out in the world a couple of times, she would have had to have grown up in Camp Applewood. So why is there no other toddlers walking around?
Oh, babies and... Yeah, good question. The mortals, their mortal parent takes care of them until they're like... It's usually when you're 13, your first monster attack comes. But for Annabeth, for example, hers was 7. So then you go, you find your way to Camp Half-Blood, either your protector, Grover, for example,
So they all have protectors?
Yeah.
Who's Annabeth's protector?
Grover as well. That's when she was 7 years old. It was Grover. And then
when she went to Camp Half-Blood, Grover left and became Percy's protector?
They keep on going and finding new demigods to bring back to camp to help them.
Okay.
Some of them don't make
it. So do they have, and Harry Potter, which actually... I don't know if this is canon or this is just a Super Carlin Brothers theory, but I know they definitely talked about it, how all of the magical people, like whenever a magical baby is born, their name is written in this sacred book.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so nobody writes it. There's a quill that writes it on its own. Or when a muggle-born baby like turns magical, then their name is written in the book. Like, how do the people that run Camp Half-Blood, whoever they are, know when or where the demigods exist?
Good question. They go around the place, go to different schools. There's usually like a protector in each school, and they seek it out. They smell for monsters because demigods attract monsters. So
with a smell?
Yeah. They can
send. That's what they said. That's why Percy's mom was dating the smelly guy to protect.
Gabe, yeah. Smelly Gabe. So that's why Percy had a monster attack because they were all drawn to them. So they smell monsters. Then. Because monsters are trying to get demigods, so then they can find the demigod, and then you usually can tell because they are either like, most of them are ADHD or dyslexia, I think that's how you say it.
Dyslexia.
So that's also how they can tell.
This is okay.
So one thing I was wondering during this is
I almost feel that most of the things that you've told me so far, sorry for interrupting you, but it's leading on, it's going after what you just said. Most of the things that you've said to me so far. Seems like, what, don't the readers call him Uncle Rick?
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I also knew about that.
Yeah.
Because of TikTok. I knew that it was Uncle Rick. But a lot of the world just seems like it's covering up for itself. Like, most of the world and how it works and how they smell, it's like covering up for potential plot holes. Does that make sense? Like how you just said, oh, the smell and the stinky guy masked the smell of Percy. Like all these little details are all just covering up for things that could be plot holes. So whenever you're like how I was just saying, like, oh, this that seems like a tiny plot hole in the universe. I'm like, well, there's a magical thing for that. Yeah. And I thought that for most of the movies and well, what we've talked about so far on the 15 minutes of the podcast or whatever that's already happened or stuff that we've talked about prior to this, mm-hmm. it's like the world is well built, but it seems to be just built on covering up the other few layers underneath it. Oh. Does that make more sense?
I get what you're saying, but I don't agree with what you're saying.
Okay.
I guess
a lot of worlds are like that too, except maybe the Hunger Games, but that world's a little more simple. Because mm-hmm. it's hard when it's a hidden world.
Yeah. So going off of your hidden world thing, if you're wondering why mortals can't see humans, they don't talk about it. It's the mist.
Wait, what do you mean mortals can't see humans? Mortals aren't humans.
Mortals can't see monsters or see like big flying... No, actually, that's not a good example. Or yeah, seeing monsters or seeing the Empire State Building entrance or anything.
Oh, wait, sorry. Empire State Building. So the Olympus is at the highest floor at the Empire State Building.
Yeah.
But they're all Greek.
What do you mean?
They're all Greek gods, right?
Yes.
Oh, this is another thing I want to talk about. Okay. So the Greek gods are Greek. They speak Greek. And it says that they're, like, Percy's designed to speak ancient and read ancient Greek. And that's why he struggles in school so much and his dyslexia and all that. But why are they... All the gods not only speaking English, some have a British accent, and then they're at the top of the Empire State Building in New York City.
Yeah, they didn't explain that either in the movie. There's many times they didn't explain important key things, like the mist, which
okay, what's,
I was going to explain.
Oh, sorry. Answer both things
okay.
you're gonna say.
So the mist is a thing that hides everything from mortals' eyes. So if you're a mortal, some mortals are born with the ability to see past the mist. So, like a Rachel Elizabeth Dare, who's in the books later on. So
she's a
and
not
Sally
demigod?
Jackson, for example, she's not a demigod, but she's a mortal who can see that stuff.
Why?
Some people are just born with the talent. It's just like a born thing. So the mist is like a clear covering, as they say, like a clear sheet blocking and turning the mortal's eyes and their like brain to think of it something else.
Is that the same mist that in the second movie hides Tyson's one eye into two eyes?
Yeah, but
so in a way, you're misting the audience and not the people in it because the. But then, why does the demigod Annabeth say, "Oh, that's better" when he sprays the mist? Because mist is only supposed to protect for the eyes of mortals. So why is it also protecting from the eyes of demigods?
Yeah.
Is that an issue in the movie? Like, that's not how it's supposed to be?
Yeah, it's an issue in the movie. It's supposed to be. There's no little can thing called mist on it they can spray. The mist, when they were more in the human world, sometimes you could see two eyes because the demigods are half mortal. So sometimes they can see not past the mist, but most of the times they can see past the mist. So, you know, mortals can see two eyes. So... But demigods can only see one, sometimes two.
So mortals are... Can we just call them humans?
Sure,
please?
Yeah.
There's too many words. That humans can see... They only see two eyes at the Cyclops, regardless of whether or not they're misted or whatever. Just because they are... The humans are programmed in their brain to not see any monsters. So yes. They see the Cyclops, so regular humans, uh-huh. You don't have any... Okay, that makes so much more sense.
Okay, so what was your other question about... Oh, yeah.
The Empire State Building
Empire
and
State
all the
Building.
Greekness.
They don't explain this, which is one of the big, big things in the books is that Greece was like the center point, as they say, like where all the culture was for...
The Greek Empire.
And yeah, it's like where it started all, where the Greek gods started. So their Olympus used to be over Greece. But when civilization, they kind of say... kind of went to New York City, so do they. They're tied to the civilization.
Oh, what they see like as... So this is just kind of... patriotism? Is that the word? Yeah. So it's just wherever the most powerful place is, so to say, that's where they go.
So that's where they go.
So then why does... Okay, that's fine. I understand that. And then the gods just have British accents for fun.
I don't get why they have them. They never have British accents. So that's why they're also speaking English, is because that's the most common language there. So they're okay known to speaking that. But they also can do ancient Greece.
All right. So does it just happen that there's more demigods found in the place where the gods are at the time?
Yeah.
Like, there would have been a lot of demigods in Greece when they used to be in Greece.
Yeah, but the protectors, the satrons, I believe that's what they're called. I don't really know the correct term of that. They go around mostly in New York, not until later in the books when they actually go, when they go to the other places in the world.
Then how does it work with the Egyptian gods or the Roman gods? Well, actually, I'm not going to say Roman gods because there's like a different series about that.
No.
No?
It's Heroes of Olympus, which is like the same as Percy Jackson. It's not the same, but it's like going right off of it. And they're really big tied together. Like Percy Jackson's in Heroes of Olympus. It's like the second sort of series to it.
Okay, that's not what I was asking.
Oh, okay.
So the Egyptian gods.
Yeah, King Chronicles. That's what the book's called.
Oh, there's a book
about Uncle Rick wrote.
Okay, what? But then, so what happens with the Egyptian gods? Like, do they move around too with the most powerful place? Like, shouldn't the Egyptian gods all be in the Empire State Building as well then? Because they would also move around? Like, why is it just the Greek gods that move around to the most powerful location?
Well, they're also in Olympus in the sky. So they're in Olympus, Mount Olympus, which is Greek. So yes. I wouldn't think the Egyptians would be there. I actually haven't read the King Chronicles. I started it, but then got into another book series. So I actually haven't read it.
You haven't read it?
No, I haven't.
I thought you were the expert. I feel betrayed.
I'm Percy Jackson, and here's Olympus.
Okay.
So, and Trials of Apollo. But anywho, so I don't really know that question.
Whoa.
I do.
I have stumped the master.
Okay. So,
it's only been 22 minutes, and I've already stumped you.
Okay, so I'm thinking
we're... Wait, can we talk about that for one more second?
Sure.
So, the Greek gods, they move around, but for some reason the Roman gods and the Egyptian gods don't, and they stay in the same place.
Oh, yes, Roman gods. Egyptian gods, I don't really know about that, but Roman gods,
I thought the Egyptian gods did have their own book series about them.
They did.
Okay.
But also, I don't really know about that and where they are at the moment.
Okay.
Oh, I believe they're in Manhattan. But anywho, back to the, I'll say Athena, for example. She's also Minerva. So her image and her thoughts are flipped between each one. She's either Athena, the strong, powerful, or the Minerva, and Roman's more crafting, stuff like that.
Is she the same person?
She's the same person. Well, she's...
Is there two different bodies or one body?
One body, two different people that come out. Two different personalities that come out. Okay. So if you're thinking about... If you're, let's say, God's in front of you, lowercase g, then Minerva... If you're a Roman, then you're thinking Minerva will be shown. If you're thinking Athena on the Greek side, Greek will be shown.
Okay.
It's whatever you're...
So there's only one body that they share?
Yeah.
So the two of them can never meet each other?
I don't know. That's a good question. They don't really say that in the books.
So that means...
But the gods can be anywhere they want. One god, Athena, for example, I'll say again, she can be 500 different places at once. But there's
so she doesn't just have one body. She has as many bodies as she wants.
Yeah, sort of like.
And that's how they'll come. There's so many demigods.
Mm-hmm. And she always has her core one. Her core one, which is, you know,
which is the Greek one in this case.
No, her core one's the one that's the main one, and then the other ones are just her flickering of her image.
Okay, so you don't know if Athena and Minerva can meet each other.
No, I have no clue. That's
okay. Haha, I stumped you again.
No, it doesn't explain. Okay, I'm going to talk of Camp Half... Actually, no, that's one of the visuals. Never mind, nor that.
Okay, but there seems to be nobody in Camp Half-Blood. And one Camp Half-Blood... So the people that are in Camp Half-Blood, mm-hmm, are the demigods and their protectors. Is that all? Because why are there a bunch of centaurs running around?
Oh, yeah,
there's
really one centaur. The others are called the party ponies. They're in other places. But there's centaurs, there's the protectors, there's demigods, there's nymphs, like there's water nymphs, wood nymphs.
Oh, I think that was actually mentioned. They're tied to trees.
Yeah, the water nymphs are mentioned. Going off of that, nymphs are tied to a water source, a lake, a water source, any river, like
brook.
Brook, Okay. Yeah. Anywho, so Oedipus says, beat it, nymphs. They were not near a water source because it's shown before when they did an overview. It was all forest around. No rivers, no lakes. They should be dead. Because once you leave, you
far. Wait, what did Oedipus say?
Beat it, nymphs.
Beat it, nymphs, when they're already dying on the ground.
I'm sad.
Okay.
So, yeah. So.
She's supposed to be nice. I don't think I have anything else to talk about for plot of this movie. I think I've gotten the generalness. I got the generalness quote of 2020. And yeah. Do you have anything else to say about the plot of this
movie? There's many things which I wish they had. And
oh, yeah. What was taken out?
Huh?
What plot points or important things were taken out?
Well, the pearls were changed. Oh, well, taking
out... changed. What was taken out?
Taking out many side things when they help Ares, for example, to get a ride to go to the underworld. So Ares is a very good aspect they added because he's kind of makes Percy and him being enemies, which is a nice thing that kind of happens. And he's a really good character in the books, too.
Is so Charisse in the first one in the book?
Sure, what?
Charisse.
Clarice?
Clarice. Charisse is a name, too. Okay, is Clarice in the first one?
Yeah, I was actually going to say that, too. She was in the first one, and she was actually against Percy and Annabeth's side and Luke's side. Because always Athena and Ares are always on opposite sides for Captain Flight, but they're both the war strategy sides. So that was... So, and Clarice is, like, tries to target Percy Jackson because... Oh, yeah, at the beginning, because Clarice is, like, the bully kind of in Camp Applet.
I assume so.
She bullies Percy Jackson, sort of puts his head in a toilet, but then he uses the water system accidentally, not realizing, before he was sent to Poseidon, and, before he knew. So... They took her out. She was a really good character, which was upsetting.
I'm surprised they'd have toilets in the way that they designed Camp Half-Blood.
I know. I'll explain that in visuals.
Okay.
Let's see. Is there anything else I have to say? Oh, yeah. Claiming. They mentioned this in Sea of Monsters, how a trident pops over Tyson's head.
I got it before you did.
Tyson's head, the Cyclops' head. Because they don't know Percy Jackson is the son of Poseidon yet. What happens is once they not prove themselves, but when their parents kind of notice them or think it's the right time, their symbol kind of floats above their head like a trident or whatever it is, and that's how you know that they're the son. It doesn't happen to a lot of demigods. Some demigods never know who their parents are. So,
but do they ever find out they're demigods?
Oh yeah.
How do they find out then?
Monsters attack them. They see it.
Oh yeah. Are there ever? Are there ever examples of demigods going through their entire lives and not knowing they're demigods? Or I guess this wouldn't even be explained in the book because it never would happen, meaning they'd never interact with any of the characters.
No, because the monsters would attack them and,
But it could happen.
It could.
Like, if they live in some secluded village or island...
Yeah, make more sense it would happen if it was a minor god or goddess, because they wouldn't track as many monsters as a more powerful god.
Okay, so, I know what you mean by more powerful. What would be examples of a less powerful god or goddess?
Iris, the goddess of rainbows and messages.
That's true. That's a really... controls the rainbow emoji, both of them together.
She controls the iris messages, which is a way of communicating, which they also don't add in, but they add in phones. Phones are a way of, it's kind of like a way of monsters saying, hey, I'm right here, come and get me, when you use a phone or the internet.
Oh.
So, he used a phone. Surprised not more monsters came, so.
You were surprised? Shocked.
Shocked.
Okay. We got more.
One more. I wish they included blue food. It's a big sort of inside thing in the books and in the fandom base, so I was upset that they didn't do that. You wouldn't exactly get it. Oh, well.
Or is it an inside joke? I'm not allowed to know.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to explain. But I really like how they made Sally Jackson's character really nice and caring and like a nice. She didn't get angry easily like in the books, which was really nice to see because I was worried they would change her character. But she's a very nice person.
I gotta admit, I don't know what to compare it to. Like, I don't know what the Percy was like in the book.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed the Percy. Like, he was kind of sarcastic and funny and at times. And the humor in this movie isn't terrible. Like, it's actually kind of funny in some parts. Like, mm-hmm. the part with the janitor walking in and the head or the... I can't think of another example, but they exist.
Yeah. Yes. Percy Jackson is sarcastic and funny in the books. So it's nice to kind of see that. It comes through sometimes. You don't really notice it, though.
Okay, I noticed because I brought it up. But, okay.
Yeah.
And now we shall finally move on to another thing, I pray and I hope.
Nope, one more thing.
Okay.
So, I think this is very simple. I think everyone knows how capture the flag goes. You grab the flag, you run to the other side.
Yeah.
Percy Jackson grabs the flags. Oh, he wins. He didn't run to the other side. Yay, Percy.
He captured the flag.
Didn't bring it back. Yeah, he didn't capture. He just took it for like a second.
I know.
That was
that whole scene is weird.
It's very, very weird. Like, Annabeth and him don't fight. Annabeth and him are on the same team. It's the whole, like, plot in the capture the flag sort of was way different. Do you want me to explain it right now? Yeah, I didn't think so.
I don't really know what the point of... I don't even know if I want you to answer this question. But I don't really know what the point of the beginning of making Annabeth look like some great warrior. Like, she's fighting all these guys and beating all them up, and then she's fighting Percy, and for some reason he just randomly gets amazing at fencing right away, but regardless of that, and she's fighting and doing so well, and then the rest of the movie just never shows her fencing or doing anything warrior-like. It's like, and now we're driving, and now we are, you are stuck with the statue.
Yeah, so the reason behind that is because Percy Jackson, they don't mention this in the book, but the water kind of shrinks him. Because when he was fighting against Luke as a training practice, when Luke was still on the good side, not really the bad side, but on...
When everyone thought he was still good.
Yeah, they were fighting. He, like, lost Riptide right away. He was so bad, he knocked it out of his hand like it was a toy. But once he was drinking, they took a break and drank water. All of a sudden, he said in the books, all of a sudden, strength flew through him, and all of a sudden, he did these cool moves in on him and beat Luke.
Oh!
But they explained that again. Now,
thing. He's just randomly good at fencing.
One last thing that they don't explain in the books, but it's not really a thing they...
They do explain in the books.
No, they don't. This thing I'm about to say, they don't explain in the books.
Oh.
But
they don't explain the movies.
Sorry, they don't explain the movies I meant.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But they don't need it to be explained on how they made it, that monsters turn to dust. After you kill them, they turn to dust and they reappear in Tartarus to reform again. So the monsters keep on coming back, right? So they didn't have that. It's not like they needed it, but it would be a nice touch to make it more like the books.
Yeah.
Okay, visuals.
Maybe I'll talk about this later, but there is a lot of similarities to Harry Potter. But Harry Potter isn't 100% original. Like, there's a lot of things that come from Lord of the Rings, but I guess everything overlaps when it comes to the fantasy or young adult genre.
Yeah.
But there was a bunch of times specifically where I'm like, this is a little too close to home. Because Hogwarts is my home.
Can you give a explanation of what time?
A boy with black hair and green eyes is whisked away to a new world at the age of 11. That's where it just starts. Where he is the chosen one. And I guess Chosen One is all throughout fantasy. But, like, just the premise, like, that's the exact premise of both of them. And, yeah, one is wizards. Oh, yeah, with some magical out-of-this-world power that is hidden from the rest of the mortal or muggle world.
You know, a lot of books are based
on
that.
And then they go to this place where it's the only safe place for his kind. And that's where he meets all of his best friends from his kind. And he discovers that some of the things that were... He discovers why his family was so mean to him at his home. Like, he...
No one... His family... Oh, okay.
No, okay. Why he was with Gabe. Okay, so he discovers why he was with some abusive family members. But it was because to hide him from something.
But you're missing the whole, he's the lightning thief, he's all that stuff. You're missing all of that. And also, the reason most of the Greek gods, dark goddesses, have black hair.
Like, yeah, I understand. So, but I'm just saying that.
And green eyes, is because it's like kind of this.
Okay, I get
sad
it.
And has, okay.
You don't have to be defensive.
I'm just saying
that it's very similar in that way. Like, the first. Like, I started reading a book one time. I picked it up. And the first 10-ish pages, I'm like, this is getting really similar, especially since I knew that where it was going.
Okay.
And also that Percy and Harry both didn't have... Also, they have old-fashioned names randomly, and they don't have very many
friends.
Oh,
I'll tell you the reason why Percy is because...
He was named after Perseus, I'm going to guess?
Yeah, because he's the only person to have a... He's only one of the only demigods/heroes to have a happy ending. So that's why they sadly named him after Perseus.
Oh, that's lovely.
So, yeah. Okay, visuals. We should finally move on
finally,
to
visuals. Okay.
Wait, I didn't say what I gave plot.
Oh, I gave it a 5 out of 5.
I gave it a 3 out of 5. It was okay. It wasn't the same, but of course, movies and books aren't always the same.
Well, it's based on. It's not is. Just like movies are based on true events, but they're not like the real events.
Yeah.
They're just loosely based.
It was cool and they made it different.
Like how Lion King is loosely based on Hamlet.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was okay. Now, visuals.
Finally, visuals. So this movie is supposed to take place in modern day.
Yeah.
But then the streets look like they came from like 10-ish years ago. I don't know how to explain this. But
this movie was made 10-ish years ago.
It was not.
Yeah. The books came out in 2009. I don't believe. I don't know if.
What year did Percy Jackson and the Lightning Thief come out?
Percy Jackson and the Olympians. The Lightning Thief was released the 12th of
2010. Yes, you were right. Okay, it came out.
So it did came out 10-ish years ago.
Never mind.
The movies didn't come out till a little later, so.
No, the movie came out in 2010.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Whoa. Yes.
That's what I'm saying. The Camp Half-Blood, though, looks like it's a medieval-aged war camp?
I know. They didn't make any. I didn't see any marble. Any marble, which
yeah,
is
like you'd think the gods' children would have a little bit nicer than no indoor plumbing.
Camp Half-Blood is way different. Described in the books, it's way much more nicer. Like each, they have cabins on random tents that people sleep in and random huts.
Yeah, like I was thinking, like, what's Percy Jackson gonna do in a lightning storm? And he's the lightning thief, or not? But that's he's told to be. So you think there is lightning in this universe,
yeah.
Meaning that.
The problem behind there is there's cabins. They have cabin 1 for Zeus, cabin 2 for Hera, Poseidon, etc. So each demigod's child is in the cabin.
Yeah.
Poseidon has his own hut made by Poseidon? Like, no.
Well, no, I think that makes sense because has Poseidon had any other demigod kids?
No. But the
That's Percy's his first one?
Oh, no, before World War II, yeah. But after World War I, now it's him.
You just said two different World Wars.
No,
World War II, he had a bunch of kids.
Oh, yeah. Now, after World War II, he only has Percy because he broke the... Oh, yeah. They don't explain this either. So, the Great Prophecy, which they speak of, but completely changed the meaning of it in the Sea of Monsters, is actually... It's called the Great Prophecy, what they say.
Oh, wow. And what a really original title
the
for
The Oracle
prophecy.
Talks about it in World War II, right after World War II, that happens. So, God of the Big Three was supposed to destroy or raise it. So, they're like, we don't want this. So, Hades, Zeus, and Poseidon all swear on the River Styx, I believe. Which is like, if you break your promise, like, you could cause... You can die or whatever. And so, since then, they break the promise. So that's why Percy's, like, the only god of...
Doesn't Zeus demigod. Also break the promise, though? Because isn't Talia...
Yeah. And Hades, he had a child in World War II. You know, never mind. That's not part of the movie. I'm getting carried on with the other books.
Something that needs to be understood. So, I think that's all I have to say. It doesn't look nice.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like a army camp. And they try and kind of fix it in the second one. Like, the way that they have the rotating wooden fencing thingy,
mm-hmm.
torture trap. Like, that looks a little more modern, but
yeah.
In a weird way, because it's still, like, an army training thing made out of completely out of wood. Oh, but they have some ribbons, so that makes it look more modern, because nothing says modern like ribbons.
Yeah. In the books, they have more... they have way more marble and made it more like a Greece sort of feeling. And they didn't have their Camp Haplet shirts. No orange I saw. Not a single person wearing an orange Camp Haplet shirt, which was very disappointing because that's like their slogan. And they should be wearing that. Then everyone wears it there because either when you come there, you don't really have any packed clothes. So people wear.
Wait, so people just, because they don't have any clothes, they have the clothes that they're wearing and then they have the Camp Haplet shirt and that's it?
Mostly. Well, some people sometimes get sent clothes from like their mother's
father. That's nice. They don't have to wear their shirts though.
No, it's optional, but a lot of people choose to because they usually don't have a lot of other clothes.
Okay. All right, so do you want to talk about music now? There isn't that much to talk about.
Music? Wait, I gave it a 4 out of 5 for visuals.
I gave it a 3 out of 5.
I liked a lot of the stuff they did in it. Like, the Cincium, like the Furies example were pretty cool.
Well, I want to talk more about visuals when we get to see Monsters.
Yeah.
Because there's more to talk about.
So yeah, it was pretty cool. Now, what do you say, music we should move on to?
Music.
Music it is.
So there wasn't that many songs. Well, it's not a musical or anything, but except actually there is a musical, which maybe we should talk about later. It's not that
good. No, whatever.
It's not that good. It's coming to Toronto, though, so.
And I really want to see it, and it got canceled, so I don't know if it's still coming or not.
I'm so happy I got to see Hamilton before everything got shut down, but I'd be excited to see it.
Percy Jackson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems like a fun
Then musical. You can actually see, because they base it off of the books more. Listening from the songs, I can tell they base it more off the books, so.
Okay. I'm not a big fan of that music style from what I've heard from you playing it, but I think, I'm just a musical theater person, so I'd enjoy listening to it still.
Mm-hmm.
And I love seeing live theater. What were we talking about? Music.
Music.
Okay.
Music.
So they have Poker Face by Lady Gaga during the flower scene.
That was cool. I like this.
Yeah. It was kind of funny. And they had Highway to Hell while they were driving to hell. And so that was funny. That was a good one. I can't think of a single other song they had, but I know they had more.
They had more in the went fit in the times.
What?
I don't know what I even said there.
I have no idea what you said.
They had more songs, but not really, like, I don't really remember them besides those two.
Exactly. Those are the only two that I remember.
I'm kind of second guessing if they even had any more songs.
Do they just have the two? That doesn't seem right. I think they only had one song in the second movie, too. Like, did they only have the budget to get 3 songs for the entire franchise? Or am I just missing something?
I don't know. Okay, well, music, I gave it a 4 out of 5? Yeah, I gave it a 4
I also gave it a 4 out of 5. I don't know why I gave it so high.
I don't know. Maybe I was remembering it before after I watched it.
Yeah, I don't remember any particular themes.
Mm-hmm.
I remember liking the music, and I think it was the first scene with Zeus and Poseidon. I think it was that one. Or it was in the pool scene. I don't know. It was one of the first 2 scenes that I really enjoyed the music for.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that it was the pool scene. I wondered how they did that, because that was like 3 minutes of him, the actor, underwater. So I'm thinking, is it just lighting and then they added bubble effects?
I have no clue.
Because I'm not, but then also his hair was going, like, did they animate his hair? Or did he actually hold his breath for the 3 or 4 minutes? That bugged me for a while.
Well, they probably put him in a certain position. He went up for air, went back down the same position.
Yeah, but it just looked like one long shot, which is obviously the point. So, I don't know. That bugged me for a while.
That's what maybe could have, like, a false wall in front, let's say.
But then his hair was moving and such, and I feel like that would be more effort, because you also have to make the visuals look clear when it's through 2 things of glass.
Yeah. I don't know. It was cool.
Because I want to see if we can figure out how to do that in our pool, because that would be cool.
That would be pretty cool.
Unless it's just animated, then we just need to get some blue lights and animation software.
Woo!
Woo!
Okay, want to move on to importance?
Yes. I gave it a 3 out of 5 because it's relevant enough that they're making a... Well, I guess the books are what make it relevant. But then the books also make the new series that's coming out on Disney Plus
relevant.
Which I'm so excited
for. But it's not Percy Jackson, it's Heroes of Olympus, which I think will be cool.
What do you mean?
The series is not Percy Jackson, it's Heroes of Olympus.
Oh, no, it's Heroes of Olympus. It's either going to be each season's based on the book, like in has different stuff like Game of Thrones, or it's
not like
That's what the website I was reading off told me. So isn't bad website.
But Game of Thrones is there's like 30 books and they're all 700 pages, isn't there? Like there's one of the books is called Fire and Ice. That's all I know. I know nothing about Game of Thrones. Maybe and neither do you. So why are we even talking about this?
Anywho,
I can't think of a series that came off the Umbrella Academy, but that comes off of comics.
Anywho, we don't know what's going to be, but it's going to start on Percy Jackson, hopefully go to Heroes of Olympus next, which I really want to see Leo so badly. I'm sorry. Leo's my favorite character, and I've had a bad crush on him. He was a fictional character.
That is a thing that exists.
Oh, my face is turning red right now, I feel like.
I don't know why. I'm not judging you.
I know.
You're judging yourself.
Yeah. Okay. Jinx. That was weird.
Was
okay, important. So I am I was so happy for the TV show coming out, as you said, and
that's why I
so
gave
that's
it higher.
I gave it 2.5. I gave it two, half because
you and your half points every time.
I give it 2.5 just because it was, as Uncle Rick says in his like Twitter account or whatever, he says the movies are so bad we need to make up for the TV series.
He said that?
Yeah.
The movies aren't that bad.
He didn't even watch the movies. He said he didn't even watch them. He's like, I didn't even bother. I just read the script and I didn't even bother.
Then why did he say yes?
I don't know how that all went.
Maybe he said yes way before the thing. Because it would have been him that signed off on that, right?
I assume
did
so.
Did he not own the rights?
I have no clue.
Okay, this is the question
now
I really
Disney
have.
Disney does.
Did Disney own the rights to it when he first bought it? Because I noticed that all of the books that you had in your room had Disney on it.
Yeah.
Did Disney always own Percy Jackson?
Yeah, he did when the books first came out, Disney on it. So I would assume so. And then he gave the rights to Fox, I believe. I'm so confused. I don't know. But I know they gave the rights to Fox
Disney
to make the movie.
Fox.
So now they can make the
TV series.
Since
when does Disney give rights to Fox?
I don't know. It's so complicated. I don't know that one.
That's an interesting thing that we should figure out.
We should. Anywho, I gave Importance a 2.5 just because it was so bad that Uncle Rick was going to make a TV show. And I'm so happy he's being a part of the script this time. He's being a part of the writing of the script.
But I don't know if he's a good screenplay writer. He's a good book writer, but has he written any
Oh, no, he's
going
to, like, say, oh, that's bad. You should take that.
Oh, he's not actually writing the dialogue or anything. He's just helping with the plot?
Yes.
Okay. Which he already wrote anyway, so he's not really doing much except just approving things.
Which he should be approving things.
So overall, for The Lightning Thief, now that we have said everything, I got a 15 out of 20.
I have a 13.5 out of 20.
Okay, just a question. Does it go higher or lower to foresee your monsters? I mean, it goes lower.
I think it goes lower.
But yeah, I don't like that because now that I think about it, I think I like Sea of Monsters more, but there's just a bunch more holes.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to final thoughts.
I mean, I don't even have any final thoughts.
I do.
This is where you say the final thoughts and not
so
just...
I clear my throat.
Oh, okay. Professional.
So, this is the description in the movie on Disney Plus. Let me just tell you. A young boy discovers he's a descendant of a Greek god and sets out on the adventure to settle an ongoing battle between the gods. Based on the books by Rick Riordan. Just let me say one thing. A young boy.
He ain't a boy.
Based on the books by Rick Riordan? Not really, in my opinion.
Okay, Sienna, that is.
Oh, fine.
What, you would rather them not give any credit?
Well, yeah. Actually, he didn't even watch the movie, so like, I don't think he even wants Uncle
I think
wants
he
credit.
Watched those. He may have said that figuratively.
I guess.
He definitely did eventually. You think, Sienna, if you spent what, like 3 years writing this book, and it's like, yo, this is the best book I've ever written. This is gonna make
yo,
a thing.
Yeah, he'd say, yeah, it's the best book.
Yo, I'm Uncle Rick, and I wrote this book. And then Disney makes a movie, Fox makes a movie out of it. He'd watched it. I don't care.
Read the script. It's like, okay. What was I saying?
But that's so rude. Like, there's, like, this, all pretty much young actors carrying this movie. Like, there's a few adults, but everyone is so young that's in the cast. And, like, these kids, it's their big break. Like, they're working hard. Right? Like, so, that's kind of rude at Uncle Rick. Come on, you're supposed to be everyone's favorite uncle. But, like, that's just a mean uncle.
No, but what he said in his Twitter post, I guess you'd say, Twitter
thing. Tweet.
Tweet.
His Twitter thing.
I've never been on Twitter, but I know this.
I had Twitter for, like, a week.
Okay, cool. Cool side conversations with Bianca.
Wonderful.
He said, oh, no harm done. No, like, I'm not... I just because I haven't watched a movie doesn't think I don't think the acting is good. Oh, the actors are amazing. They were just pulled into this bad film.
Oh, he actually wrote that?
Yeah.
Well, you didn't say that when you're talking about the tweets. So that makes me feel like he's a mean guy. But now I'm like,
he's
he's a nice guy.
He's the best Uncle Rick.
Well, don't make him sound like he's mean Uncle Rick.
I'm sorry. Now I'm making it up for it. Okay, so that's all I have to say for my final thoughts.
I told you I didn't even have any final thoughts, so I'm just going along with it. You said, okay, let's finally talk about the second movie.
Sea of Monsters.
Sea of Monsters. At 50 minutes, we're starting it.
Finally, we're on Sea of Monsters. Okay, should we start with plot, or?
Yeah, sounds good.
Don't worry, this plot will not be as big, because now that you know the ground rules, we'll be all good.
The ground rules.
The ground rules.
It was like a little more than ground rules, but okay. I give the plot a 4 out of 5. It wasn't as strong as the first one, and there's a few reasons why.
Agreed. I gave it 2 out of 5.
Okay, you don't have to be that harsh. It's still a pretty good plot.
Oh, sorry, 2.5 during I got the half.
Oh, I hate the half points.
So, I love the intro. The intro was amazing.
I don't remember the intro.
With Talia, Luke.
Oh, yeah, speaking of Talia, why wasn't she mentioned if she's so important in the first one? When the barrier was breaking. Wait, no, just kidding, that was the second one.
Because Grover, the reason why he was going on the quest with Percy in the first movie was because he messed up with Talia, because he was the protector of all three. He's like, I thought I could bring all of them home, but I couldn't. So, because everyone thought Talia was going to be the great prophecy, so that's why he was so mad at Grover at himself. So he wanted to prove to himself again to get a searcher's license, what they don't talk about in the movies.
Well, they kind of do with the horns and stuff. I get the gist.
No,
he wants
do you know what a searcher's license is?
I refuse to answer that question.
Oh, no, not protecting, not a protector. He wants to find the great god Pan. It's not Pam, it's Pan.
So I just said.
Oh. Right.
I know Pan is a boy. He always stays a boy.
It's not what it is.
Yeah.
He's actually, okay, well.
Pan is a child and he has everlasting youth. That's Peter Pan's kind of based off of him.
Okay, but not in the books.
Okay, well, that books is wrong.
Anywho, so in the books, he's, like, kind of, like, very old and... Never mind.
What?
He's just...
Why is he old?
When people stop believing in a god, they fade. They just fade away. So...
But who in... Okay, whoa. But who in the world is believing in Zeus? Oh, I guess Zeus's
all
kids.
The demigods, all
oh,
the
yeah,
centaurs.
Oh, yeah, just kidding. They count. Yeah, I forgot about them. Thought it was just mortals. I'm like, I haven't heard of any humans that still worship the Greek gods, but I'm sure maybe they exist.
Yes, maybe. Anywho, so what was I even saying?
I have no idea.
My mind just went blank.
I don't remember what you're saying, so let's move on.
Okay. Oh yeah, I love the intro, because they just talk about it in the first book. They don't start off with it in the second book.
In the first book.
Yeah, yes, that's why they talk about it with Grover and Percy are awake and Amulet's, like, sleeping or something. And, like, he talks about, like, they mention Talia a lot in The Lightning Thief in the first book. So then Percy's always wondering who that Talia is. So Grover finally explains it to him and what happened.
Okay. Wait, so that means Grover and Annabeth have been friends for a long time.
Yeah, but not really. Don't really become friends really until Percy comes. They all go to quest because quests are rare to go on. Like you don't usually go on quests.
I assume so.
Okay, so I love the intro. What annoyed me part of the intro is they said a Cyclops killed Talia.
Did that not happen?
No, a Cyclops only. A monster was chasing after them, and on their way there, they met a Cyclops, and then he was like. It was a maze, so since Cyclops can change their voices, he kept on speaking as, like, Talia's voice to Luke, or Annabeth's voice to Talia, and stuff like that. So then that's what made them fall more behind while the monster chased them. And then when they left, the monster killed them. So it was like Cyclops that almost ate their friends too and stuff.
Okay.
So that's why it's more vicious and more, they made it, I think Gorg made it so it's more, Sam was more vicious, did more bad things.
Okay.
Okay. So they talk a lot about the barrier, right?
Yes.
And how Talia is the point of the barrier, strengthens the barrier.
Yeah.
But in the first, I wasn't realizing this until the second book, when they actually talked about the barrier, is that the Minotaur got past the barrier. He went right to the Camp Half-Blood entrance and literally grabbed the mom. The mom can't go past that barrier. That's
where the barrier is.
No. Because in Talia's scene, the first scene, you see that there's the Camp Half-Blood thing, and then there's Talia's tree way before you enter. You see that?
No, it's after you enter. It's the middle, isn't it?
No, because Talia would be in Camp Half-Blood then. They never make it into Camp Half-Blood yet in the beginning.
Oh, yeah, that's the whole point.
Yeah, so that was a weird thing to see. Do you have anything else to say?
Oh, that makes a lot more sense. Do I have anything more to say?
I have some more things to say, but I'll take a break.
Okay, I don't, actually, for plot. I think that it's a better movie in a bunch of ways, but it's also a worse one in a bunch of ways, so I guess it's about even, but I still gave it a little bit worse than I did the first one. I'm going to talk way more about this in visuals, but I think that this movie had a higher budget. I'm not sure if it did, but it looks like it did.
Yeah.
And I know at the beginning they made it look... Actually, I'm going on to visuals. I shouldn't be doing that. So one thing that you mentioned when we were watching it is that all Cyclops are children of Poseidon.
Mm-hmm.
But didn't you just say that he didn't... Oh, no, because he wasn't allowed to conceive any demigods, but he was allowed to have children if they were of different races.
Yeah, it can't be
not
a demigod.
Species.
Yeah, so going into the intro, my last thing was that Annabeth looked...
Wait, then who's Tyson... No, I'm still on this, sorry. Uh-huh. Who's Tyson's mom?
Oh, I forget what it is. I believe it's like a sea nymph and Poseidon. Make a Cyclops.
Oh, so every single Cyclops is Poseidon's children?
Yeah, Poseidon like created Cyclops. It's a weird thought.
That makes me feel uncomfortable.
Right? So, imagine being Percy, your brother being a Cyclops. Wouldn't that be uncomfortable?
Well, all of them are.
I know, brothers. But think of it. That's so uncomfortable. Anywho, back on the intro, Annabeth looked 12 years old when she was supposed to be 7. Luke was supposed to be 13. Talia was supposed
to
be 12.
Yeah, they all look the same age.
Annabeth was taller. That's why I'm doing the age more, is their height. And Talia's way taller.
Everyone in that running group looked the same age, though. And they're not supposed to be the same age. Isn't Luke supposed to be 7 years older than Annabeth?
Uh-huh. So, he was supposed to be 14. Talia's supposed to be 12. And during the tree, Talia doesn't age. Because if you think about it, the books are based like that on purpose. 1 year later, she comes. So that means Percy and Annabeth are 12 years old, and Talia is. So that's what they do that on. Like, Uncle Rick, I think, did that on purpose. Well, probably did do it on purpose. So she wasn't supposed to age. But since they made it a teenager's with them, they did that. And I love how they added Clarice. Finally, they added and Mr. D, Dionysus.
Oh, the one that couldn't say Percy Jackson?
Yeah, but they also don't... What?
He said Perry Johnson.
Yeah, and Annabelle. So, what did I say? Oh, yeah. So, Mr. D. Why did my mind go blank?
Dionysus?
Yeah. That dude.
Okay. Wonderful.
Huh, Mr. D. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Right, this is 2 seconds of me trying to remember what I was saying.
A little more than 2 seconds. That's all I have to say for plot. I gave it a 4 out of 5, which is one lower than The Lightning Thief.
Yeah.
Just because I like the road trip vibes.
This is the last thing I have to say. Last thing for plot. They have it many times when they say something and then it happens. Like, for example, when Clarice is like, they're in the Cyclops land, she's like, this isn't really screaming Cyclops. And then the Cyclops yells. There's so many times like that.
That's a joke.
I know. It's funny at the beginning, but after they have it so many times...
Wait, what's another example of that?
something would say that.
That was the only example I could think of.
No, there was more in the Lightning Thief and the second movie. Which I forget now, but I knew there was more. So it was funny
at
the beginning.
Well, that's a style of humor that happens. I know that this is produced, and I mean, I know that this was Fox made, but it happens a lot in on Disney Channel and such when the punchline of a joke is the opposite or the exact thing of what someone says happens.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not like it can get any worse, and then the exact thing that could make it worse happens. So I think it was just a overused punchline.
That's what I'm saying. Was
but
like
I did
the
like the
time,
one with the Clarice set.
It was funny sometimes, but then got really annoying when it progressed on.
Clarice was funny, though.
She is. She's like the funny, she's one of my also favorite
I characters. Think she kind of carried the back of the second one. I wish she was in the first one.
She
also,
is so nice.
That actress
is funny in the first one too, which they should put in.
She was also in the Hunger Games.
Oh
no,
cool
you
connection.
Never saw that.
No, I haven't.
No.
Cool connection.
It's good. She's good. She also is a intense warrior there too, so I think she kind of has her niche down.
Yeah. Okay, that's all to say for plot. I give it 2.5. Should we move on to music?
Sounds good. I gave it a 3 out of 5. The only song I remember is the Imagine Dragons one at the very beginning.
I didn't remember any. So I gave it 2 out of 5. Like, I think there was good ones when I wrote it, and I gave it a 2 out of 5. But now I don't remember.
Yeah, there wasn't... I think there was only the song at the beginning. I can't think of another time there was a song.
Yeah, they don't really have songs in places that you remember.
That's true, except the beginning. I did like, when it comes to plot, the taxi. Oh, we're not talking about plot anymore, but I like the taxi ladies.
Wasn't that the Lightning Thief? Were that the Sea of Monsters?
No, those are Sea of Monsters.
Oh, right, yeah. You're right. Yeah, that actually happened in the books, and they did exactly like that, so that was cool to see. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, plot hole. I just thought of that right now. Percy's like, Annabeth's like, this is probably a Poseidon's domain, when... I said that really weirdly.
Yeah.
Domain. When he was trying to control the water. But then when they were in the Sea of Monsters later on, all of a sudden I know this is weird, guys, but I feel like I just can see a map of this ocean. It's not right.
Oh, no, that was when he was out of the place.
Oh, yeah. That's why I didn't write that down.
He didn't control the water inside the belly of the beast, did he?
Nope. They just shoot in the gut, and it got out the gut.
Yeah.
It was just a gross scene. The whale.
I thought it was cool. I liked the way it looked.
It was kind of funny. Like, this is the worst way to die. It was kind of funny, and they said that a lot.
All right, so we're done music and we're done plot. So, do you want to move on to importance? I gave it a 2 out of 5. I didn't even ask you. I just said we're moving on to importance.
Okay, I gave it a 2 out of 5 too. I was reading this up that the first one really flopped in the box office. So, I saw a lot of websites saying it was surprised that Sea of Monsters even got it. So. It was not that important to
maybe
people.
Maybe it did really well on home DVD. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe.
Because was Netflix around 2000? Netflix was around in 2010.
Disney Plus, of course, was not.
Netflix was not around in 2000. Now I can't remember. I remember when, I think it would have been like 2015 when it was the first time I even heard of Netflix. I heard of everything way too late.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Okay. Visuals. You said you wanted to talk a lot about visuals.
So I gave visuals a 5 out of 5. It got so much better in the second one. Just the fighting scene from the beginning compared to the capture the flag scene at the beginning of The Lightning Thief. It's a world of a difference.
I give it a 5 out of 5 too.
A lot of the CGI
Tyson's
in the first
one. Eye was really cool.
Yeah.
That was really cool to see. The monsters, they did better.
I like the wind out of the boat. That when they had the bottle of wind that opened up.
That was really cool.
That looked cool. The yacht was gorgeous and is a bazillions of dollars.
Yes. So this is not really visuals, but Chiron's actor was changed.
Who's Chiron? We already talked about...
The centaur.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I realized I was like, maybe it was his hair, because his hair was long before and then it got sharp.
Are you sure it's a different actor?
It was. I switched it up too.
Oh, okay.
And that was annoying because I liked the first one better. The actor of the first...
Wait, is he... Would you call him... Percy's mentor?
Yeah.
Here's another thing from Harry Potter. The mentor, aka Dumbledore in Harry Potter's, actor changed in between 1 and 2. Or, wait, just kidding, was it 2 or 3? I don't know, they actually
won. Dumbledore's actor did?
Yeah, like 3 times.
Huh. That's weird.
It's not weird. They had to cast very old men.
Not weird.
Fortunately, when you cast old men, or an old woman, when you cast old people, eventually they're going to pass away and not be able to make it through a 12-year-long franchise.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah. I'm not surprised it happened. It's unfortunate.
But Chiron's actors weren't old.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you know what happened to the first guy?
No, I know.
Oh. Actually, there was a lot of Harry Potter cast switches. Only two that I can think of, but there's probably more.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's
a wrap. I spent so much time talking about
Harry
Potter.
Do you have any final thoughts?
Oh, overall, I gave Sea of Monsters a 14 out of 20, so just one lower than Lightning Thief.
I gave it 11.5 out of 20. I gave it two lower than Lightning Thief.
Except for, I think I enjoyed the second one maybe more.
Yeah, I enjoyed the second one better, but for...
There is a bunch of parts that felt pretty predictable and like it went on forever in the entire franchise. The first thing I think of is the lotus flower scene. While it's pretty visually appealing, it does get old after a while because there's nothing really happening.
Mm-hmm.
During the entire Poker Face song, I know they don't end up playing the entire song, but it just feels like it goes on for too long. Like, it could have been without it. I understand it's a little extra spice, but...
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of scenes
there's
like
many
that.
Parts in... Inside things I wish they added, like the blue food and stuff I wish they took out.
Yeah.
So
I forget what movie we were talking about this when there was so much source material and then they only used some of it. What was the thing we were talking about?
I have no clue what you're talking about.
I'm saying there was one review that we did quite recently when there was a bunch of source material and then they only added, I think it was actually Snow White, our first one, our worst episode. By the way, it's only like 11 minutes.
Oh, so bad.
But not just the time, just the actual content's not very good.
Yeah.
But we were just testing out everything. But our Snow White episode, we read, or at least bits and pieces of the source material. And while it's actually based on like a book/poem that's not that long, there's still so much more plot than there is in the movie.
Yeah.
But not necessarily, like not, like more dramatic plot, like the... Snow White the movie has more plot, but not as exciting plot. Like, I don't know. That's something we already talked about.
Yes.
We don't need to bring that up again. We all know exactly what we're thinking.
Okay.
That's a wrap on Percy Jackson.
That was an interesting episode. This was a fun episode.
And I believe in 2 weeks we are going to be continuing on our Disney review timeline.
Yay! I don't know what's next. What is next?
I have no idea.
Hopefully Peter Pan. I'm excited to see Peter Pan.
I'm also excited to see Peter Pan. I haven't seen it since the age of six.
The last time I saw it was, or knew of it, the plot was the ride, which Disneyland.
So you only know I love that ride.
Oh, yeah.
We should talk about that when we do our Peter Pan episode. And that's a wrap on Percy Jackson.
Yes.
Make sure to follow us on Instagram at imagination_fuel.
Bianca and Sienna signing off.